Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of the Holy Trinity. It's the celebration of God, and it's important for us to take time out of our busy schedules and celebrate the great gift of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, as Catholics, we believe in one God, and yet three persons of God. Each person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are co-equal in power, grandeur, and majesty. There is no subordination. Now, when we speak of the Holy Trinity, we must speak with trepidation, because it's difficult for us to grasp the Holy Trinity, and it should be. After all, we are finite creatures. There's only so much that we can take in, grasp, and understand. God, on the other hand, is infinite. God has no beginning or end. Therefore, we cannot or never will we be able to fully grasp and understand God. Now, is this bad? Absolutely not. In fact, this is very good. Why? Because it compels us to always pursue God, pursue our knowledge, our love, and our wisdom of God. We do it by participating in the sacraments, in a daily prayer life, by studying the scriptures, lives of the saints, church art, architecture, music. We do all these things in order for us to grow in our wisdom and our love for God, the Holy Trinity. Whether we're 8 years old or whether we're 80 years old, each and every day of our life should be one that's committed to growing in our knowledge, wisdom, and love for the Holy Trinity. As I've mentioned before, a professor at Mundelein Seminary, where I went to school, would always say to us, he would say, "Faith won't grow if you don't want to know." Well, if we don't want to pursue growing in our knowledge of our faith, then our faith is not going to grow. One builds upon the other. Now, when we look at the Holy Trinity in sacred scripture, it seems like it most easily reveals itself in the New Testament. For example, the baptism of Jesus Christ. Here, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, and after his baptism, suddenly the dove descends from the cloud, and from the cloud a voice is heard, "This is my beloved Son." Another example is the Transfiguration. Jesus climbs Mount Tabor with his apostles and is miraculously transfigured before his apostles. Now, we can also see the revelation of the Holy Trinity in the Old Testament. It's just that we have to be very careful in where we see it. For example, Genesis chapter 18 is a story of the three men that appear to Abraham and Sarah. They suddenly appear to Abraham and Sarah, and being good hosts, Abraham and Sarah make them a meal. After the meal is finished, the three men get up and walk away. And yet one turns to Abraham and says, "I will be back again in a year from now, and your wife will be pregnant with child." Well, upon hearing this, Sarah bursts out in a loud roar of laughter. And the man says to Abraham, "Why is your wife laughing?" And Abraham says, "My Lord, we are both well into our 90s. It's impossible for us to bear children." And the man says to Abraham, "Nothing is impossible for the Lord your God." And soon enough, Sarah conceives, and she gives birth to Isaac. And Isaac in Hebrew means God laughs. This story prefigures our doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And yet, go back even earlier. How about Genesis chapter 1, verse 27? God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." Now notice how it said, "Let us, make man in our own image and likeness." God didn't say, "I am going to make man in my own image." singular. No, instead it was plural. From the very beginning of creation, we see the Holy Trinity revealing itself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always together. Even our own day and age, we see the Holy Trinity revealing itself to us. Take, for example, the Mass. In the Mass, all of the prayers that we have in our Mass are all directed towards the Holy Trinity. Just carefully listen to the prayers at our Mass. We are constantly praying to the Father through the Son in union with the Holy Spirit. What do we do at the very beginning of Mass? We sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. Yes, we do that to invoke all three persons of the Trinity. Yes, we do that because we recognize that all three persons are present and with us now as we begin the Mass. But more importantly, we sign ourselves with the cross because we remind ourselves where we are in proximity to the Holy Trinity. We live and move and have our being inside that community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, fast forward to the Gospel. And the Gospel comes from John. In fact, chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Notice how it begins. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish. Now, if there's any scripture quote that all Christians should know and memorize, it's this, John 3:16. You see this in many sporting events. You know, a player kicks a field goal, or a player hits a home run, you always see somebody in the stands holding a sign that says John 3:16. This is a scripture quote that all Christians should know and memorize. And it's very easy. Now, with this in mind, what I want to do is turn to St. Augustine and have St. Augustine help us to understand just one more aspect of the Holy Trinity so that we can continue to grow in our love and wisdom of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what St. Augustine does is he looks at the role that each person plays in salvation history. Now, mind you, each person of the Holy Trinity is separate and distinct of each other. The Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit, and the Son is not the Father or the Holy Spirit. The same thing holds true with the role that each plays in salvation history. It's separate and distinct from one another. Take the first person of the Holy Trinity, the Father. St. Augustine would say, the Father's role is sender. The Father sends the Son into this world, as it says in the beginning of the Gospel passage for this weekend. After the Son's mission is completed, he then sends the Holy Spirit into this world. And yet, before all that, the Father is sending prophet after prophet after prophet to be God's spokesperson here in this world for the express purpose of reconciling all people back to the Father. And see, the Father, therefore, is the sender, as Augustine would have it. That's his role. He sends, just like he sends the apostles into this world, and now he sends us to continue the work of the apostles. So the Father is the sender. The second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son, Augustine would say, is the one who is sent. As we see in the Gospel passage for this weekend, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Well, the Son is sent into this world. Then he is sent to preach first to the Israelites and then to the Gentiles. Then the Son is sent to the sinners to heal them. As Jesus says to the Pharisees, I have not come for the righteous or for the healthy, I have come for the sick. Then Jesus is sent to do battle with the devil in the desert. Finally, Jesus is sent to do battle with the greatest power in this world, death itself, as he mounts the cross. Jesus Christ ultimately is sent to do the will of the Father, and he does just that. Finally, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Augustine would refer to the Holy Spirit as the sending. The Holy Spirit is the divine operative force in this world. Augustine refers to the Holy Spirit as sending. Now, that's a gerund. And in the English language, a gerund is defined as a non-finite verb, always in action, never stopping. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Remember last week, we celebrated Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, our church, and immediately our church comes alive. And from century after century after century, from that moment, the Holy Spirit has been working in our church, through the apostles, through the saints, through the sacraments, and now through us. The Holy Spirit never takes a day off, never takes a holiday. It is constantly working for the sanctification of the church. And so, Augustine gives us a wonderful way to help us grow in our knowledge of the Holy Trinity, by their roles. The role of the Father is the sender. The Son is the one who is sent. And the Holy Spirit is the sending. Now, one last thing to think about. Yes, we do celebrate the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we also celebrate how we participate in the life of the Holy Trinity, the love that is between the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, go back to St. Augustine. Augustine says, at the moment of our baptism, our soul is branded with the mark of the Holy Trinity. Now realize, during the time of Augustine, animals were branded, even slaves were branded, with the mark of their master, so their master would know what his property was. Now, is this what Augustine is referring to? I don't think so, not at all. I think what Augustine is really referring to here is that at the moment of our baptism, yes, we are branded with the mark of the Holy Trinity on our soul, but we are branded so that we now are claimed by God. We become the adopted sons and daughters of the Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. And through each subsequent sacrament thereafter our baptism, we are drawn deeper and deeper to participate in the life of the Holy Trinity. I'll show you how. The next sacrament we receive after baptism, reconciliation. Well, there we encounter the Father, who is there to forgive our sins. Next is the Eucharist. There we encounter the Son, when we eat Jesus' body and drink his blood. Next, confirmation. We encounter the Holy Spirit, in which we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next, marriage. There we encounter the Son, Jesus Christ, who is there to bless the union of man and woman, which best mirrors the union between Christ and his church. Next, the anointing of the sick. There we encounter the Father, who is there to forgive our sins, and the Holy Spirit to heal our body. Finally, holy orders. There, as the man kneels before the bishop or the archbishop, the Holy Spirit descends upon that man and changes him, such that he is no longer the same person. Now he is a new person, ontologically new. And as he stands up, now he shares a unique bond, unlike any other in this entire universe, with Jesus Christ. It's the bond of priesthood that he shares with Christ. See, through each sacrament, we are drawn deeper and deeper into the Trinitarian life. Because with each subsequent sacrament, we encounter a person or persons of the Holy Trinity. And see, that's why this is such a great celebration. We recognize just how important God is in our life. And we celebrate how God is constantly drawing us in to that community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that truly is worth celebrating. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.